Yes, you have 5 minutes to put your point across. And to be honest, after hearing the previous people, I kind of changed what I was going to speak about because I was quite angry. And it does make you angry. We feel that we've been pressurised into this. As a small local authority, we are the ones who, you know, sort of began all this, getting it out in the public eye. We had 10 volumes of Orsted, a technical, deeply technical paperwork, each volume having hundreds and hundreds of pages in. And, you know, we weren't even originally allowed to have a copy of those 10 volumes. We were asked to go to Ramsey Library and read them. And so when we kicked up a fuss, they said, OK, you can have the copies, but it's going to cost you £1,000. This was the Cabinet Office. So we kicked up more of a fuss, and eventually we were allowed these 10 volumes, which sat in the middle of the Commissioner's table. And we were five or seven of us at the time, just had to go through these documents in 12 weeks. We had to read these technical, deeply technical documents. And to be honest, we've learned as much as we can. We feel we know more than most of the MHKs on the island. We've tried to talk to them, and most of them don't want to speak about it because they might preclude them from a cabinet position next time round. And those we have spoken to don't really know that much about it.
And how does that make you feel when you're basically confronted with MHKs who say they don't really know that much about it?
Deeply suspicious, unfortunately, because it's kind of been... it almost seems like it's kind of been hurried through in a bit of a hurry and trying to keep it quiet as possible. It's deeply worrying for us, you know, that we're being cornered into this position, made to come and appear at meetings like this and have conversations, deeply technical conversations, and try to fight Garth's corner. And that's why I got angry, because they're selling Garth down the river for £57 million. And I asked one of our MHKs, why can't you make 3% of savings within government efficiencies, and that will give you £57 million a year? And the reply was, well, we'd have to get rid of doctors, and we'd have to get rid of nurses, we'd have to get rid of other people like that. And I said, well, can't you just make efficiencies in other ways? You know, there's a lot of people in a lot of departments, and you've taken on an awful lot of people since you've got into power. And that's where all the money's going. So that's the way to make the savings, not to industrialise the whole landscape of Garth, to get the gain. And how long is this £57 million going to last until it's all used up again in some department and we're back again? What do we do then? Sell Peel's coastline off then, and then we're up at the Point of Ayre and down at the south of the island, so the whole island surrounded with it to support our income, because we keep paying out all the time. You know, that's why I'm angry about it. The Garth are fighting their corner, this massive company, and government seem to have just completely gone to ground and gone silent about it.
You have engaged with the public recently. Tell us a bit about that.
We initially had a meeting last September in the Institute to let people know about it, and when it was really just a very small subject. In fact, how Not For Isle of Man got involved is we sent a little leaflet out around our residence, and Gina, who's now running the Not For Isle of Man group, she came to us and said, I didn't know anything about this. So we consulted with people, we told them what was proposed, we told them what Orsted were proposing and what government were going to get for it and all this kind of thing. And you know, resoundingly, everybody in that meeting, and I do appreciate that only people who object to things generally tend to turn up at meetings, everybody was really resoundingly against it. And so we started to look into it a lot more. We started to look into the information. We read all this documentation, and we came to the point just a few weeks ago that we should have another meeting and update the Garth residents about what is going on and what is proposed. And all the things that we found out about this proposal, this non-disclosure of this contract that was signed in 2015, we've asked for freedom of information, it's been refused twice. Well, what is in that document? Is there something in that document saying that if they don't say yes to Orsted, then we're going to get millions of pounds of financial penalties? So we've updated people, we've had this meeting, we had over 200, maybe even more people came in, filled in a form. We're now disseminating that information and trying to send it back, take it back to MEMA, and they've said tonight that they will accept views from those from from those little surveys. But what I'd just say to the Manx public is that even if we persuade our two MHKs in the Garth area that to be against this, it's only two people in a room of 24. We need at least 12 to 14 to 15 MHKs to be firmly against this, so that when it comes to the decision making in Tynwald next year or whatever, that it is turned down, because it'll fundamentally change not only Garth but the island eventually, because we'll become this. Once they put one in, it'll become an industrialised thing. It'll be all around us. We've seen a little plan on the paperwork with these things all around the island. We've seen that.
Talking to Jamie Smith, also Garth Commissioner.
I'd just like to highlight the emotion we've seen tonight. You've heard it probably in Richard's voice, and just people were just speaking from the heart. These are just people who've, you know, they're volunteers and they're people spending their own time, and you just heard them quoting from the Manx National Anthem, Gem of God's Earth, talking about that feeling of what it's like coming home on the plane, when you're looking out for that first sign of the Isle of Man, or you're on the ferry and you're looking to see it. And it really came through tonight, that emotion that people feel. They feel frustrated, they feel angry, they feel the government's let them down somewhere, that, you know, that this is, they don't know whether it's a done deal. There's no power agreement, we know that. There's no obligation for Morsi to provide us any electricity, let alone it at a cheap value. And it's just come through. We're feeling it. I know one of the speakers today, I won't name which one, has said to me that she's feeling ill. Just that, you know, she's worried it's having an effect on her health. We in Garth Commissioners, we are small little parish commissioners, really. We've got one in the office, we've got one full-time employee, two part-timers, and we're still getting dog mess that we have to mess with and planning applications. Our member of staff, Martin Roll, I want to name him, he wasn't here tonight, but he got a round of applause when Simon mentioned him. And honestly, the emotion and anger that we heard tonight was absolutely took my, you know, breath away.
We've had so little opportunity to actually get our views or ask questions or be heard. So we've all worked very hard over the last 2 months to try and understand what's going on with this examination board. And you know, the examination team are sitting there and they've got a job and a mandate to do, but actually a lot of what we were talking about today was directed at our government, because MEMA and our government bodies have put this in place. And it's the first one they've ever done. And frankly, we're a bit shocked as to how badly it's all working out in terms of the people knowing what's going on.
There did seem to be quite a lot of criticism, particularly of government. What is the concern there?
Well, I think it's the fact that this was a deal that was signed almost 11 years ago, November 2015. And then it went underground. Nobody knew about it. I think the terms at the time were talked about in the media by the developer. The government never really said anything. And then it emerged 9 years later, and suddenly was on fast superdrive. And suddenly, you know, the public were faced with, here's what's happening. Here's the consultation. We're going to go through to examination, and then it's going to be a decision. And of course, the whole suspicion around that was, well, maybe this has already been done. Maybe this is a done deal. And we've said, well, we've asked everybody and they've said, oh, no, it's not a done deal. We're going through the procedures. But the fact that we get so little information, that we can't talk to our political representatives, that we're coming up to an election, all of these things add up to being rather suspicious.
And your organisation now has a significant membership.
Well, we are closing in just over 6,500 signed on the petition. We've got 2,400 followers following us every day on Facebook. It's a very low-key sort of platform, but it's all that's been available. And the Isle of Man people have really, once they realized that they did have a voice and they could get information, they've been, that petition is growing up by 100 a day. So we know that probably within the 2 months time frame that we've set, we'll be at 10,000 people have signed that petition.
An awful lot of people who spoke kind of qualified what they were about to say by saying, actually, we are very passionate environmentalists. However, this is the wrong project at the wrong time. Does that pretty much summarise your thinking?
Yes, it does. I mean, you know, I buy into the whole thing that we've all got to be more economical with our use of power. We've got to reduce, reuse, recycle, all of that. The problem with this deal is that it's massively out of scale for the island, and all of the energy is going to the UK. We see no evidence that the so-called SAP to the, or the SOP to the public, to say you might be getting green energy and renewables and energy security. We're not having any of that, unless we pay huge amounts of money to try and make that happen, and we don't see that happening. It's not in place. There's no energy agreement in place. Manx Utilities have really not even worked up the financials on it. So, you know, there's a lot of disingenuous misinformation out there, and I think you probably heard that, you know, a lot of people have been incensed by the fact that there's posters all over from Ørsted showing our beautiful island, and it's almost like a stab in the back. Here's our beautiful island, but we're not going to show you one pictures of it with the turbines in the water. You know, we can't go that far, because that would be a step too far.
Are you confident in the process, and how confident are you that you're going to succeed in opposing this?
Well, I think we have to say, when we started, we knew nothing, and we thought we just have to do something. And as the time goes on, and as people sign up and contact me, and hundreds of inquiries a day, I'm sitting with our team, we're dealing with this full time. We're starting to feel the tide turn, for sure. And will we succeed? I don't know. I hope that the examination team can look at all of this and hear the emotion and the passion from the Manx people, because that was coming out tonight. This will be devastating for many people. And I don't know what the outcome will be, Phil, but we're going to give it everything we can to try and stop it.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.